Jacqueline Malcolm.
Okay, so thank you for listening in and not going anywhere and staying with us, because of course right now we're talking about a celebration of African art music, which is a series of classical concerts that are coming up throughout this year that you can get along to. And what we love is that the people who are going to be performing, the soloists, the singers, the musicians, a lot of them are going to be coming from the black community, or for the BAME community in some way, which is really, really kind of cool, because it's not always that you associate black people and the black community with classical music, which is totally, totally crazy, because of course we've been part of classical music and composing throughout for centuries, and yet we can sometimes act as though it's something new. But right now in the studio with us, I'm really, really excited by our guest to have Victoria Awari with us. Hello, Victoria.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Oh, bless your heart. No. It's absolutely our pleasure. So, before we start talking more about the concerts and everything that's coming up, let's get a little bit more about you, because I know there's lots of people listening in who would love to know a little bit more about your journey. So, you're a soprano singer. You're an acclaimed and very, very talented singer, which we're going to get a little bit taste of later. But tell us, where did it all start? Where did your journey with music and singing begin? When did you first know that this is something that you had as a gift?
Well, I lost my sight at age 6 and a half, and I had to go to boarding school. Then I was still living in Nigeria. And though it was a really harrowing process,
right,
in that school, one thing that was really highly encouraged was music. And our music tutor, Mr. John Yekini, heard me sing one day as I was playing with my friends. And he called me in and he said, you know, would you like to sing something for me?
Wow.
And I remember singing a song, I think it was Alleluia Joy. And he heard me and he said, oh, would you like to come out with us? And I was like, yeah, why not? So the school band used to go to quite a few events, and I got the I had the privilege of singing at the president's house and the governor's house. And,
wow!
You know, I was a bit like a little celebrity as a child, and I didn't really know that it was work. Like, it felt like fun, you know.
Right?
They never worked us so hard, and you know, as a child, if someone gives you lots of sweets and biscuits and all that, you just do anything, don't you?
Yeah. So here's chocolate, here's a sweetie. Come and sing.
You know, and then obviously everything was balanced. We studied, and you know, we had to go to school, and we did this sometimes, and it brought the school a very good reputation, and it honed my talent. And I'll be forever grateful to Mr. Akini.
Right. You, yeah. I know, right? Because to have started singing from the age of six, I mean, that...
Seven.
Because it, as you said, it came after you'd lost your sight that you then suddenly discovered through going to boarding school. So it's that thing, isn't it, that people say all the time, that out of darkness, out of our darkest moments, can come our bright, shining light, and the thing that kind of really transforms our lives. Do you think that's kind of the journey that you went on? I mean, do you sometimes wonder, had that not happened to you at the age of six, would you have still followed this road?
I don't know, because if Mr. Akini hadn't said, oh, you can sing, nobody really... I mean, as a child, I was going to go to school and go to university and probably become a lawyer or something boring.
Right.
sorry, lawyers.
Because, yeah, I know the Law Association listen in on every single Tuesday. Oh my goodness. Because of course, coming from a Nigerian background, I know that education is really, really, like, I mean, it is important everywhere, but in Nigeria, it's
like... You have to be a lawyer, a doctor, or an engineer. Those are the three professions.
Right?
Either that or, oh yeah, she went to school.
Exactly. I know. And I mean, I know that the climate is changing a lot, but...
Yes, it is.
Then, yeah. I mean, like, the thought of actually going into some kind of creative career as an option, it just really wasn't done.
No.
So you must have been exceptional for them to have set you on this journey.
Yeah, I mean, my family are very open-minded. I mean, they realized that I was different from everybody else, and they they place a lot of value on my happiness, and they saw that music made me happy, so they supported me. So eventually we moved to England. My mum retired from her job and she was moving back here because this has always been home for her anyway. She was only back in Nigeria for work. So,
What, she was actually born here?
No, she was a British citizen.
Right.
From a very young age. So she went back to Nigeria for work after Nigeria gained independence. So I see.
So, but most of her growing up life was here in England.
Most of my siblings were educated here, so I had the privilege of a Nigerian education.
Which
helps because I can speak two Nigerian languages. I speak Yoruba and Kalabari. I'm from River State. Yeah.
Right, okay, okay. And where in Nigeria did you... I've been to Nigeria around 5 times.
Okay.
I do love it there, but I've only been to Lagos, Ibadan and Abuja.
Oh, I've been to all this. I lived in Lagos. I grew up, I was born in Port Harcourt. My early years was in Port Harcourt, but when I lost my sight and I had to go to school, Lagos was the only state that had facilities that could support my education.
Wow.
So I moved to Lagos.
Wow, that is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So what age were you when you moved to England?
I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really quite young still.
Still very young. And I came here and I went to boarding school, New College Worcester.
Right.
And that was where my former classical education started. I mean, it was introduced to me at Queen's College when I was in Lagos. I did have some classical training with a music teacher there.
Right.
But it was a huge balancing act because the academic workload was a lot.
Right. And they made you stay on top of your academic side.
Yeah, and being visually impaired, I had to work extra to kind of keep up with everything.
Right.
So I didn't have enough time to sort of do music. So when I came to England, the option was open to me. I noticed that they had a very flexible approach to the education style at the A level, and I chose to do music, sociology and English. And as part of the music A level, you did a few performances and you had to have singing lessons and do grades and everything. So bingo.
I think it's absolutely amazing. Now why did you go down the classical route though? Why didn't you go down more a soulsy or jazzy route?
I was a bit of a weird child. I mean, seriously, really weird. Like I couldn't dance. That was my thing as a child. Everyone used to laugh at me. My coordination was awful. But I would love the best, the Disney song, Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
And I wanted to be her when I grew up. And I wanted to be Cinderella and I wanted to be Snow White. And, and I think I didn't even know that pop music properly existed until I was like 13. I was sitting there listening to Little Mermaid, and my brother came up to me and said, "Look, Victoria, you can't keep listening to this sort of music. You're getting old now." I said, "Yeah, but it's nice." So he now played me Whitney Houston, all at once.
Yes.
And then I thought, "Oh, that's nice." So then I would only listen to Whitney Houston for a very long time. And then someone else introduced me to Mariah Carey, and I thought, "Oh, that's nice."
So then it was Mariah.
I wanted Mozart and I wanted Haydn. I just really liked classical music. I think for me, it was tidy and neat.
Right,
and in saying that, I'm not saying that pop music is not tidy and neat, because I do sing pop songs. I have an appreciation for it, and I would perform it. Because there's a different level of enjoyment in that as well.
Right.
But it took a while for that to get into my system.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that is just amazing.
Yeah.
So now, because I know that you sing with like the British Power Orchestra.
Yes.
Which is made up of people with some kind of limitation or disability. So how did you make that connection? And how have you found that, being blind has affected your performances, or has it at all?
Yeah, first of all, members of Para Orchestra are really amazing musicians who happen to have a disability.
Right.
They all audition on a platform to get there. And the conductor, Charles Hazelwood, he's really passionate about getting disabled people performing on the same playing field as non-disabled performers.
Yes.
So he creates opportunities for us to perform with people like the Birmingham Symphony Orchestra, the Perth Orchestra, the Army of Generals. They're really high professional
orchestra.
So to make the connection, I was working with another really amazing blind musician called Baluji Srivastav. He owns Inner Vision Orchestra, which is a blind orchestra in the UK, well, an orchestra of blind musicians in the UK. And they got wind that the Power Orchestra were looking for a singer to sing a song. And I was introduced to them. And because the Power Orchestra came as a result of the Paralympics. They performed at the opening night. So at that time, they didn't really audition singers. They were focusing on instrumentalists. And now they've started to focus on singers as well as everybody else.
That is just amazing.
So it was such a lucky moment that I was asked to do that song. And since then, I've been doing, you know, a few concerts with them.
I know. I mean, I would. I wish I had time to actually go through your actual bio. I mean, the amount of work and performances and what you give back. I mean, I think a lot of what you do is you're giving back. It's like you use your gift. It's not like you're trying to make loads and loads of millions from it. You're trying to give back.
I don't make millions. I have to make that very clear. I don't make millions from my music. For me, music is not just a job. It's therapy for me.
Wonderful.
It lifts my spirit. It makes me happy. And it makes me happy that it makes other people happy. Yes. And I'm grateful for anybody who gives me the privilege to sing.
Oh,
and that includes
all
the organizations that I've worked for. Grey Eye Theatre Company, British Power Orchestra, Inner Vision Orchestra. You know, the list goes extant. The list goes on and on. And all these people, they work so hard to kind of give us opportunities to do what we love doing.
Yeah.
And keep us away from being idle and getting depressed.
Right. And how does it affect your heart, the fact that they're taking music out of schools because of lack of funding?
It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart because one thing music does give a child is confidence. It gives a child another way of expressing themselves that the education system, which I think is a bit strict.
Yeah.
It doesn't cater to every single person's strengths. And if your strengths don't fall into the boxes that they have to take, then you're considered stupid.
Right.
And that's not fair. Everybody's born, I mean, Einstein says that it's only a fool that thinks that somebody else is stupid. Everyone has a strength.
Exactly.
You just have
exactly.
to find it. And if school does not give you all the options that you can, either be a sportsman, a farmer, or a cook, or a musician, or, you know, education should be giving everyone a chance to express their individuality.
Exactly. And not locked into it. It's like I always say, because I do a lot of work with universities, and I always say that, personally, in an ideal world, I don't think anybody should be allowed to go from school to college to university straight into teaching, because then they're institutionalized and they're academic.
Yeah.
And so then you cannot build an entire curriculum on academia, because just like you're saying, not everybody isn't their way of expression or communication.
Yeah.
And so I think every single teacher should have to go out and work for 2 years in just a regular situation so they get a feeling of what it's like just to live and not in a world of academia.
Exactly. Or they should just employ teachers from various walks of life. People should not just go to, you know, secondary school and then go to teachers training and become teachers. That is good, but we also need teachers that have worked as bank managers, people who are teachers who have worked as musicians.
Yes.
Different sort of, because education is not one way.
Exactly.
It's a very broad thing, and it's ongoing till the day you die. You're
exactly.
getting educated.
Right? Can you imagine? I always say that the day I stop wanting to learn anything and I think I've learned everything, I'm done here.
Exactly.
I mean, what am I still sitting on earth for? I'm just taking up room.
Yeah.
So, okay, now before we go back to talking a little bit about the celebration of African art music, and because I know we want to talk about your event on March the 30th.
Yes.
But can we have a little taster of you singing?
Okay, I will be singing a few songs. Because I haven't got a piano, I may not be singing it in the right key, but I'll give you a taster of one song I'm doing by Ayo Oluranti. He's a Nigerian composer. He wrote this song titled Messiah Babami. Ooh. That's Messiah, my father. So I'll just take a few lines from the middle somewhere. So,
thank you.
Babami, Messiah. Messiah me, Messiah me.
We honestly believed that the whole system was going to explode.
Sorry.
Oh my! No! Don't apologize.
That was amazing.
That was phenomenal. Oh my gosh, my soul is tingling. I can't describe it. It's like everything inside is just vibrating. That was amazing. And that was just off the cuff. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my God. I can't stop grinning now. Oh my gosh. That was just amazing. And breathe, Jackie. Breathe. Wow. And that was just like, what, 10 seconds?
Yeah.
That is powerful. You must feel quite powerful that you have this force in you, right? Living.
Yeah. It does make me feel alive singing.
Yes.
It does make me feel alive, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so let's go back quickly then to a celebration of African art music. So you're going to be at the October Gallery on March 30th.
Yes.
And you're going to be singing some songs by Shirley Thompson.
Yes, I'll be doing two songs by Shirley Thompson, and Hymn for the Morning and Psalm to Windrush. Well, the Hymn for the Morning is really beautiful. I just love it. I heard it and it just connected to my heart and I thought, I have to sing this song. And then Psalm to Windrush, we've all heard on the news about the Windrush people that were sent back last year and all of that. And I this is like a tribute to them. And I felt that this is a good thing to share in my concert.
Oh my goodness me. And you're going to be accompanied by, is it Adam?
Adam, yes, Adam. He's Adam an amazing piece.
Heron.
Yeah.
Yes. Aaron,
yeah, he's lovely. Yeah, we met once to kind of have a bit of a touch base and to run through the repertoire, see what was comfortable with my voice and what he was comfortable working on.
Wow.
And all that. So we're going to see more of each other between now and next week and give you a great show. And I'm really excited about the program because I'm singing a lot of songs in Yoruba. So if you really like Yoruba songs, you should definitely come along. Most of them are gospel and inspirational and a few lullabies in there. And, a composition of mine.
Oh, really? Fantastic.
There's a song I'm going to be singing titled Tamino Korinama.
Oh, wow.
That's Kalabari language. It's God's work is awesome. Tamino Korinama Balafamam. I wrote that many years ago and I'll be ending the concert with that.
Oh, well, I do believe we're also going to be ending the concert playing that song right now because I think they sent us a file.
Yes, a recording, yes.
Excellent. So everybody, you're going to get to hear the song right now that was actually composed by Victoria. And then please, you can go and see her on the 30th of March at the October Gallery. So if you just go on to their website, then it will be able to tell you how you can actually pick up your tickets. As I say, I went in February and to the first of this series, and it was absolutely phenomenal. But right now, we've come to the end of this morning's session. So we have to say goodbye to Victoria. But we can't thank you enough for coming in and just sharing your soul and your spirit with us. You're so vibrant and beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been really lovely chatting with you.
Okay, so right now, Pixie,
yes,
we are ending the beginning of our show.
That went so quickly.
It went so quickly. And what we will do is we're gonna end this morning with Victoria Urari, singing. Can you say again?
Tamino Korinama.
Thank you, because I was going to say it, and you said it so beautifully. So right now, just enjoy this music. You've just heard her voice. Absolutely phenomenal. And then don't forget, you can go and see her on March 30th. And then do not go anywhere, because then we'll have a little bit of news, a little bit of ads, a little bit of music. And then when we come back, we are talking to the healthy living advocate, Amara Kanu, straight after all of this. Don't go anywhere.
Tamino Korinama Balafama. Tamino Korinama Balafama. Tamino Korinama Balafama. Tamino Korinama Balafama.